on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Our weekly conversation with the one and only Dustin McComas. Perfect day to talk to him because we got Longhorn football coming up, but a huge baseball game tonight with the Astros and the Yankees. OrangeBloods.com, of course, and at D. McComas, OB. Dustin, you ready for game four tonight?
I am. This is turning into quite the series. I think it's turned into the series many people expected in terms of a little back and forth and some of the chess match and all those sorts of things. And then you throw in a postponement in there as well, which kind of gets this pitching staff shuffled and things like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Dustin, have you been like me kind of explaining to people that it's not that huge of a surprise that Strasburg and Scherzer and Corbin and even Sanchez with those bats, Rendon, Soto, yada, 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 the fact that they're in this position, that's a pretty good baseball team, even though they were 19-31.
Yeah, it's not that surprising. Remember, this is a franchise that's been a very popular World Series pick for like the last seasons. People got burned on that so many times that like everybody wrote them off when they had that horrible start. And now people kind of want to be surprised they are what they are. It's a really, really good baseball team. And when you commit that much money to those types of starting pitchers and they perform, this is what can happen. This is what can happen when you have a Rendon and a Soto in the lineup. And you got a guy like Howie Kendrick having a career season who's been really, really good the entire year. It's not like he's suddenly been a David Freeze in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The guy was an awesome hitter this season. So, this is a Washington franchise. It's just everybody was kind of like waiting for when it was going to happen. And when it didn't happen for a few years, I think everybody's like, well, I guess it's just not going to happen. No, this is a really, really good roster.
Dustin, Kevin was mentioning this after Washington wins. The numbers speak to a lot of rust if you have a lot of time off. So in an
1-8 in the last nine.
1-8 the last nine. If you sweep and then you have to wait around. So give me a thought from the analytics perspective. It's such an analytical sport right now. Have they figured anything out in terms of extra hard practices or extra couple days throwing for pitchers? Or is there anything that the Nats can do to stay fresh and not develop that rust?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not really sure what you can quite do from a hitting perspective. I think from a pitching perspective, they just got to make sure that they keep those guys in the routine that they're in. And, they're coming off of a different type of series in that you saw so many starting pitchers actually get some work out of the bullpen. But really it just comes down to you got to keep those guys on whatever schedule they're on that's normal and keep things as normal as you can as you head into the World Series. So, yeah, you're kind of, you're a victim of the circumstance. On one hand, you sweep, which you want to do, and on the other hand, you've got to wait and see what happens with that other series. So I'm not quite sure anybody's really figured that out. I saw that stat posted, of those teams that sweep, what their records are as they head into the World Series. But I'm also a big believer in everything starts with whoever you have on the mound in game one and what kind of start they have. That's where your momentum really takes off from.
Yep.
Dustin, assuming Houston wins tonight and they're up 3-1 in this series, do you have a decision if you're A.J. Hinch and say, you know what, I tell you what, we're going to throw our bullpen game in game five, and if you, the New York Yankees, want to come to Houston where we're unbeatable and beat Verlander on an extra day's rest and Cole, go for it? Or is it you go Verlander game five and that's it?
It's a tough question because I think that we know when you're asking pitchers to kind of pitch out of their ordinary type situation, we have seen that kind of backfire. I mean, just look at the Dodgers. I think that if you feel good about Verlander as a game five guy, I think that you've got to treat this situation as we're going to win the game in front of us. Because you just don't know what's going to happen. If you treat it as a bullpen day in New York and, you drop that game, but you're like, okay, well, we got Verlander and Cole waiting back home. Yeah, that's the odds are absolutely in your favor, but you just don't know for sure what's going to happen in that situation. So I think that if they feel good about Verlander being ready, he feels good about it in that potential Friday situation. I think that they got to go with him and just try to win the game that's on that day.
Talking with Dustin McComas, OrangeBloods.com, at DMcComasOB on Twitter. If you want to follow along tonight during the game, I'm sure Dustin will have all kinds of comments as he's following along. All right, Dustin, first things first, Astros trying to win the game tonight. You, being a follower and fan of the Boston Red Sox, are definitely on the Astros fan side here. So you want to see a great Zach Greinke tonight. How are you defining that in the first, say, 10, 20 pitches? What do you want to see from Greinke early on tonight to let you know, okay, this postseason version of him is much better?
Yeah, with him, it's command. You want to see a guy that's got feel for all his pitches early on. You know, we know he's not a guy that's going to light up the radar gun, but he is somebody that can still generate some swings and misses. And with him, he's been a guy that just has such fantastic control. So we've seen at times in the playoffs where he just doesn't quite have the feel for his stuff and missing spots and making mistake pitches and things like that. That's not Zach Greinke at his best. Zach Greinke at his best is a guy that's got total command of all his stuff. He can change speeds, but he can throw any pitch in any count. He's not walking guys, and he's missing bats. You know, that's the Zach Greinke you know. Okay, this guy's at his best when he's getting uncomfortable swings. He's throwing pitches in any count that he wants to, and the stuff looks good coming out of his hand. So if he comes out the first couple innings and, you know, he's firing strikes with all his stuff and he's mixing speeds and he's got a real feel and tempo for what he's doing, I think that's a very encouraging sign for the Astros, because it looks like Tanaka has turned into one of the greatest pitchers of all time in the postseason. He's looking at his numbers. It's like he's the new version of El Duque Hernandez for the Yankees. We know that Greinke is going to have some good stuff in order to give them a chance to win.
Yeah.
Dustin, we're hearing some stories and reporting that this is more than just two badass teams going at it with the whole Correa, maybe the ear, and also Judge rounding the bases with his homer in Houston. These two teams don't like each other, do they?
I don't think they do. And there's also been a report about some shouting matches back and forth between dugouts about some sign stealing going on, which it wouldn't be a pro yep. season in this era if the Astros weren't involved in one of those. These are two franchises that are the best when it comes to a lot of things in baseball. We know that baseball, it goes well beyond just who's on the field. There's so much that goes into it, the front offices and the preparation and pitch dipping and player development and all these sorts of things. These are two franchises that are very proud. They're very good. But, yeah, this does seem to be a bit of an unusual seven-game type series. You know, sometimes you get to the end of a series and you can tell teams kind of don't like each other. It seems that these two teams are looking for reasons to be ticked off at one another. And it's starting to show, and we've only played three games so far.
That's the best way to put it, too, because it's not even like one of these we hate each other forever. They're looking for reasons to get pissed off.
Yeah, and listening for whistling.
Yep, yep,
they're listening for the whistles, apparently, tonight as well.
Not only looking, but listening, Jerry.
That's right.
I'm looking and listening.
That's right. Talking with Dustin McComas, OrangeBloods.com. All right, Dustin, it would seem that the Longhorn football team has the perfect opponent coming off of the OU loss, but it's obviously still – they got to get things on track. They just didn't look like themselves. I hate to ask the question, do you give them a mulligan, because it's that game. But based on what Tom Herman and this group have done overall, do you give them one and go, all right, it was against OU and it was bad, but I'll give you one, assuming that there's not going to be more of those?
Well, that's the problem is that game kind of creates some doubt as you look at the rest of the schedule, because I know it doesn't get much attention nationally, but the Big 12 is a really good football league this year. And I know it lacks, you know, the elite teams or the potentially elite teams that the Big Ten and the SEC have. But top to bottom, it's a good league. You know, and Kansas is not a good football team, but Kansas isn't the horrible, you know, bottom 10 kind of team and has been in recent seasons. So, you know, that Oklahoma game kind of creates a little bit of doubt as you just look at the rest of the schedule. You know, Texas can't afford those types of performances and then win out against the schedule. There's too many potential landmines when you look at the way Baylor's playing. I know they got some help from the officials. You look at the way Baylor's playing. Texas Tech, I think, is a little better than people think. Iowa State's starting to regain its footing again. We know TCU can play defense. There are some quality teams in this league. So I think that this Kansas game is important for Texas to come out, you know, and just play a complete football game. You know, you don't have to beat Kansas by 50 points, but just look solid all around, because now we have two games back-to-back between West Virginia and Oklahoma where Texas just hasn't quite been in full sync like we saw earlier in the season. You know, the offensive line for two straight games now hasn't been what we saw earlier in the season. Sam Ehlinger for two games now, granted he was good against West Virginia, he hasn't quite been the same guy that he was early in the season. So, you don't want to, you know, you look at that Oklahoma game and I rewatched it and I was like, I'm even more surprised that it was as close as it was, because there really wasn't anything that Texas did extremely well in that game. But they've got to be better. They've got to get back on the right track, because this schedule is not anywhere close to a cakewalk. There are some good teams in this league.
Going back to Houston, did things that my novice football brain was like, oh, how did he combo that? How did he package that? And we know the four-eye technique can be a little shaded inside to stop the inside. But there are some glaring things that have kind of been going on for the last year. I've got all my friends and the people that I really trust. I've been asking them from Scipio to Jeff Howe, and I'm going to go to you. Where's your confidence level in Todd Orlando right now?
That's a good question. You know, it's, on one hand, I think the defense holding Oklahoma to 10 points in the first half, and you look at where Oklahoma started their drives throughout the game, they were put in a situation to fail. On the other hand, you can go back on tape and you can find things like a linebacker chasing CeeDee Lamb 30 yards down the middle of the field, and he's the only guy around there. You know, we've been seeing that too often throughout the year. And there's just been some consistent things throughout each game. You're just kind of like, that just doesn't look right. You know, it's one thing to get beat on a play. It's another thing when you've got just the wrong personnel and asking those guys to do something that they can't do. You know, there shouldn't be a situation where against Oklahoma, you've got a middle linebacker type of player chasing the best receiver in the Big 12 and one of the best receivers in the country down the field, you know. And then, but on the other hand, there's situations where, you know what, there's a guy making a catch with three guys around him, or a guy making a catch with five guys around him, and they don't tackle the guy. So it's kind of a combination, which how much is that on the defensive coordinator and how much is that on the players and, you know, teaching, tackling, all those things. But I wouldn't fault any Texas fan at all for not having high confidence right now in what the defense is doing and what the defensive coordinator is doing. They need to be better. They're not up to good national standards, and they're certainly not up to – the good Texas standard. So, you know, I thought after they kind of dialed it back pressure-wise, you know, they got burned with that against LSU, which LSU clearly is one of the best teams in the country, one of the best offenses in the country, but they got burned doing that. They kind of dialed it back. I thought they were starting to kind of regain their footing there. They've been creating some turnovers and things like that. But there's still a few things every game where you just scratch your head and just kind of say, why? You know, that shouldn't be happening. You know, you shouldn't get down to the goal line playing man defense and CeeDee Lamb motions for 2 yards and tells his quarterback, hey, I'm in man, and then just run a basic little pick play for an easy touchdown. Like, those sorts of things shouldn't be happening.
Talking with Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. Dustin, as I mentioned at the beginning, seems like the opponent to get better against. Total defense for Kansas is 104, and rush defense is 122. For everything the Texas defense did or didn't do, it's that offense that's got to lead them. This is Tom Herman's team, and we all know 27 wasn't going to beat OU. What do you expect out of the Texas offense? Do you expect any kind of changes or tweaks? And if they're going to keep running that much 11 personnel, what do you expect out of Cade Brewer? Like, if they're going to run it, don't you need to use 80 a little more?
Yeah, I think you do. You know, that just can't be a situation where you're just kind of putting a tight end out there to be on the end of the line of scrimmage as a chip guy or a block guy or whatever. You got to kind of involve that guy in the passing game a little bit more. Kansas's defensive line is not terrible. You know, when I was watching that Oklahoma game, I think Oklahoma was down to their second string left tackle and maybe on the right side as well. But Kansas's defensive line was kind of making Jalen Hurts uncomfortable at times. And I think really Texas has got to start there. You know, there's been two straight games now where teams have looked at Texas and say, you know what, we can try to attack these guys in the middle or the right side of that offensive line, whether it's stunts, whether it's blitzes, whether it's just really having a really good guy in the interior, Stills or Gallimore, to create some issues. They've really been testing Texas in that area, and I think Texas has got to adjust, whether that's incorporating more of traditional screens like they did once against Oklahoma and had some success with it, or whatever it is. They've got to get that side of the offensive line back on track, back to communicating, back to feeling confident in what they're seeing, back to allowing Sam Ehlinger to not be frustrated. I can't recall, a previous game where Sam Ehlinger was just so visibly frustrated by what he was seeing, by what was happening, by the hits he was taking. It just, the offense was never, ever in flow against Oklahoma, and that's just been a rare thing to see from Texas from the last season and a half. But I think it really gets back to, they've got to look at that interior of their offensive line on the right side of the offensive line and say, okay, what are we doing now that's different than what we were doing earlier this season? We were having so much success and getting those guys back on track, or coming up with ways to help neutralize pass rushes and things like that from the defense.
Keontae Ingram is a really good talent, and he's only, 19 years old? He's a sophomore. Do you think the Texas staff is probably trying to deflect a little bit of the infatuation that Texas fans have with who's on the depth chart, who's the actual starter, and probably trying to massage his ego a little bit as he's getting through his sophomore year? And realistically, he is the second best running back on the team.
Yeah, I think that, they're trying to keep the confidence high. And I think that he's a guy that you can watch him play, and you can tell when he's playing with confidence, you can tell when he's not playing with confidence. And I think that they know they've got to have that guy, that he's they got to get him into the situation where he contributes like he's capable of contributing, because there's just not many options on the roster right now, and they've got to figure out a way to run the football. So yeah, I think there's a conscious effort to do what they can, whether it's little things or small things or sending them out to the media or whatever, to try to keep his confidence up, because they know when he's confident like he was against Oklahoma State, he's such a different player, and when he's not, he's just not as productive. So that, yeah, I think that they're trying to figure out a way to make sure that he's in the right place and he can give them something in the run game, because they need it.
Dustin, speaking of confidence, I would assume that Devin Duvernay needs a bunch of it this week. He knows he cost this team in the return game. They had weird plays designed for him on offense that just kind of went lateral and didn't really show him off. How important do you think it is, even against Kansas, to get back to the one thing on offense that I would argue that this team has really done well for sure in 2019, and that's using him in a lot of ways?
Yeah, and yeah, he's a guy that I think pressed a little bit. You mentioned the return game and some things like that against Oklahoma. I don't think they can force the issue with him, though. Because I think that they've kind of, I don't know if fallen into a trap is the right phrase, but there's been the last couple games you've seen defenses really try to lure Sam Ehlinger into looking at him or to looking certain places on the field and trying to anticipate things and take away things, because Texas has been so good at, okay, we're going to spread you out, we're going to read what you're doing, and we're going to make our read pre-snap, and we're going to go to it. And they were so, so good early this season that often hitting Duvernay in those types of situations. And I think the last couple of games, they've almost been forcing that some. So, maybe trying to get him more involved in the vertical downfield passing game, or maybe trying to scheme some things to where you're freeing some guys down the field, as opposed to doing a lot of things pre-snap based on the personnel, based on the coverage, and kind of picking those one-on-one type matchups and just attacking those, taking those high percentage type chances. So they need to get him involved, but I think they need to get away from trying to force the issue sometimes on offense, and maybe incorporating him in different ways besides, the bubble screen type plays and, going across the middle and making those third down catches. Maybe trying to get him more like we saw early in his career, like the wheel routes down the sideline, or getting him up the seam in a vertical way, to try to use him in different ways and try to get the defense different looks.
One of my favorite people to talk to in terms of just a balanced, regulated view on things. You're not too high, you're not too low. Help me out with this. Where's the balance between defensively, there's just so many injuries, and also there's some things that schematically they're not doing well?
Yeah, it's a good question because I think we've even seen some games, and even as recently as Oklahoma, where you kind of watch guys, and you pointed this out early in the season with Caden Stearns, even when he was playing. You watch guys sometimes, and you're like, that guy just doesn't look right. You know, and sometimes we don't know how banged up some of these guys are. I think B.J. Foster was an example of that against Oklahoma. He wasn't playing like B.J. Foster. You know, I go back to that trick play that was like a flea flicker to CeeDee Lamb, where Oklahoma went up 17-10. He's the first guy to break down, to slow down Lamb. He's the closest to him, and he doesn't even get a hand on him. And there's five defensive backs there. So there's just been a lot of that this season, to where like some of these guys just don't quite look right. And I don't know if that's a physical thing. I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. But on the other hand, too, you look at some of the schematic things, and they just haven't been consistently where they need to be in that area. So, yeah, it is a balance. You know, I think both things definitely factor into that equation, and that you look at this roster right now on defense, and it's missing some key pieces, or maybe even some pieces that are on the roster that are out there playing might not be quite 100%. So it's hard to place all of the fault on scheme and coaching and those sorts of things when you do have those injuries. So I don't know. I keep going back to, sometimes, you know, this team is a blitzing team, which I think it wanted to be earlier this season. You know, and that's just kind of who Todd Orlando is. You know, that's who a lot of defensive coordinators are. They want to come after people. They want to throw different things at these quarterbacks and confuse them and create negative plays and turnovers and all those sorts of things. This really hasn't been a very good blitzing team. There's a stark difference between Oklahoma bringing pressure and Texas bringing pressure. When Oklahoma brought pressure, you kind of watch it, it's like, oh man, you know, quarterback's probably going to take a hit on this play. When Texas brought pressure, besides one time when they had a great blitz call into a screen where they really got in, I think it was Overshown that put a hit on Hurts, they don't really strike fear into the opposition when they blitz. And there's just something off there. You know, maybe it's a schematic type thing, to where these guys just aren't in sync in that area. And, you know, that just kind of forces you to be a team that drops a lot of cover, and you just got to kind of depend on, are you calling the right coverage, and are your guys in the right position to make a play?
Great point. And even on that boundary blitz where Overshown got to him, they were a split second away from that being the perfect call and throwing it into the blitz and getting a, God knows, 190-yard play.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Can you miss tackles outside of the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, I've been out there. You can.
That is Dustin McComas.
Yeah, you can. Let me tell you about that.
You can. Yeah, that's true. You can. That's Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. It's Thursday, so it's War Room Night at Orange Bloods. Check that out. They got all kinds of great stuff for you, great content, podcasts out there. Heck, Dustin and Kevin are doing a baseball podcast and again.
Dustin, when's the next one?
Soon. We actually have some off-season things to talk about. Baseball, I think, is going to unveil their indoor facility. I believe that's tentatively scheduled for Saturday. They've got some scrimmages coming up, so we're going to have a lot to talk about soon.
Very cool. Thank you, Dustin. We appreciate the time, man. I know Astros fans are hoping for the same thing you're hoping for tonight, a Yankees loss. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, go Astros, go Red Sox. Do not go Yankees. You can go home.
That is right. Dustin McComas, always great to talk to him. A little Longhorn football, a little baseball as well.